This is Business Rockstars. I'm Brittany Lehman, and my guest today is Danielle Bruno, CEO of Tender Greens. Danielle, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So for those who are not familiar with you, give me some background on your entrepreneurial journey and how that led you to become the CEO of Tender Greens.
Sure. So I've been lucky enough to be associated with some really top brands. I was one of the first retail employees at Apple, and I personally opened the first 25 locations.
Wow.
At Pete's Coffee and Tea, I opened about 100 locations, and that included a totally new prototype for the 50-year brand and the conversion of the Caribou Coffee stores. So I converted about 30 of those. I went to Dry Bar and restructured the business model, opened 30 locations there, and then Tender Greens recruited me for that experience, and I'm here to make an already great brand even better.
That's amazing. So what's kind of that process like when you come into, because all those brands you mentioned are like top-notch, amazing, same with Tender Greens. Actually, I want to back up.
Okay.
For those who are not familiar with Tender Greens, give us the quick elevator pitch.
So Tender Greens is what we call in the industry a fine casual restaurant. And the casual part is because we don't have a host, we don't have servers, we don't have a full bar yet. But we do have the highest quality ingredients, really responsibly sourced. Every location has an executive chef with a culinary background. At Tender Greens, you will definitely get a five-star meal for a 2 to 3 star price.
I agree. I love it. Whenever I go in, everything is so fresh. It's quick, so it's like when I'm on my lunch break, it's easy to go. And you feel full, you feel satisfied, and you feel like the produce that you're getting is really top of the line.
Yeah. It is.
So when you are coming into a company as big as Tender Greens, as big as Dry Bar, whatever, what is that experience like kind of walking in and becoming the new CEO?
Yeah, I mean, because these are such great brands, I spend a lot of time early on just observing and learning about the brand. I should also mention that each of these brands are places where I have been a consumer. Mm-hmm. So they're brands I love already. They're brands I know some things about. And so I really go in and really try and learn what makes it great. I look at the trajectory of the company, where the investors want the company to go. I try and identify the things that might be holding it back. Mm-hmm. And then build the structure and the systems to support the long-term objectives.
Amazing. And tell us why food quality and crop diversity matters for everyone who eats food.
So, I mean, we've all heard the adage, you are what you eat. I don't know how many of us actually think about that on a regular basis, but I mean, food is fuel. Mm-hmm. So food like gas in a car is fuel. And so when you eat food that has a lot of additives, if it has unnatural ingredients, our bodies aren't built to process that. Mm-hmm. So at some point, there's going to be an impact to the body. In terms of the crop diversity, you know, farmers aren't paid to grow food that's nutrient dense. Mm-hmm. They're paid to raise crops that have high yields that are the most profitable. So in many cases, they're all going after the same sort of foods. And when you go to the grocery store, it's pretty homogenous. Mm-hmm. So we're not necessarily getting the diversity we need in our nutrients, and we're not necessarily getting to experience things that might be harder to grow. Mm-hmm. They might be more labor intensive. In fact, this morning, I was at the Tender Greens in Hollywood, and we were trying some new salads out. And a couple of the things they had in them, one of the salads had pea tendrils and fava bean leaves.
Never even heard of it.
Right. Delicious. The other one had chayote and nopales, which is the big cactus, the big paddle cactus.
Oh, cool.
Incredibly high in magnesium, for example, but and really, really good, but complicated to process. Not everybody knows how to eat them, so they're not at your regular grocery stores. So.
Right.
It's, you know, I mean, unless you're eating at a Tender Greens or unless you do all your shopping at some exotic place, you might not have the opportunity to try those things.
Yeah. And it seems like those things would be like high in cost to get. But Tender Greens is such a great price. How do you guys kind of manage to do all that?
Well, so there's two things. One is the funny thing is they're not always high in cost. So I was talking to the guys this morning about the pea tendrils specifically and the fava bean greens, and they cut them off the top. I mean, they're the byproduct of the superstar or the hero item.
Yeah.
So in those cases, we have a guy who does procurement. He knows all of that stuff. He has a lot of great connections. We have a lot of great relationships with farmers. So we learn how to source these things. And we also have executive chefs who, I mean, we are one of the only restaurants in our category that actually has executive chefs who make food and have a history and culinary background. So they know about these things. They know how to, they've tasted things in their past. They hear about things. And in collaboration with our operations team, our supply chain team, they just find these things that are just amazing and that we can buy in enough volume to make them affordable for our consumer.
And when you first decided or, you know, was brought to be the CEO of Tender Greens, what was the biggest challenge that you kind of had to overcome and face?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, being at the helm of a brand I love is something that's amazing to me. I think, you know, being the CEO of a restaurant brand, I mean, the food business is no joke.
Right.
It's really intensive from an operations standpoint. I have a lot of respect for people in the restaurant world, especially now that I've been a part of it. Mm-hmm. Also, something that was sort of a surprise is how much technology plays into consumer behavior. So with the rise of things like Postmates and DoorDash, people have more options. I mean, literally at their fingertips, they have more options. So we're not only competing with the other restaurants on the block, but we're competing with whatever pops up on somebody's iPhone.
Right. And if you could go back before you were the CEO of all these great companies, what piece of advice would you give yourself?
The piece of advice I'd give myself is just be yourself. Mm-hmm. David Bowie said, the extraordinary thing about aging is that you finally become the person you were meant to be, or something like that. And I just agree with that wholeheartedly. I think it takes, you know, 20 years. I mean, it's really not till you're in 30s or 40s that you unlearn all the crap that, you know, basically stifled you from being your best version of yourself.
Right.
So I would just say, you know, be the best version of yourself and focus on that. And that seems like the most efficient way now in my mind to be successful.
That's amazing advice. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is Business Rockstars. This is my wonderful guest, Danielle Bruno, CEO of Tender Greens.
One step away from homelessness being that paycheck. I was just one paycheck away. So when I got there on Friday, no paycheck. There was probably another 14 people standing outside the front door who had the same conversation I had with my boss. He had skipped town, gone. And I called my landlord and said, I can't pay rent. This is what happened. He said, I already gave you 30 days. I can't give you another. And that was literally, you know, day one of going into homelessness. I was in Las Vegas. I was on the streets. I didn't have a couch to sleep on or friends. I had a couch at the time. I didn't have a car. My car got repoed, so I couldn't sleep in my car. I literally slept in abandoned buildings and basically ate wherever I could find food, which included, you know, dumpsters and garbage cans. My mom was like my ace in the hole. Yeah, I expected her to say what like most moms would say, which was, you know, don't worry about it. We'll buy you a plane ticket back to Jersey. You can sleep in your old bedroom. I'll make you a cup of soup, whatever, right? And she didn't say those things. Instead, she said, why don't you just go find a shelter? And very next call was to Eric, which was my last boss, my boss from years prior to. And he essentially said, I have this office space, and this office space is very tiny. I was thinking about starting a new business, but I'm not doing it now. The best thing about this office space, because it was so tiny, was that all the utilities were included. So I had electricity, but what was really cool is I had this really, really old desktop computer on a table that's like six foot table that had internet access because utilities were included. So I took this opportunity to spend 24 hours a day online, creating a resume, submitting it to a job application, being on Craigslist all day long, being on Monster all day long. And there was a lot of rejection, a ton of rejection. And it was all based on surface level. It was based on how I looked. When I'd walk in and people saw me, obviously I looked homeless. When I walked into the lobby, they'd come running out from behind the receptionist desk and go, hey, you can't come in here. And I'd be like, but I'm here for the job. Sure you are, you can't come in here. I forgave her for everything, basically. And what I look back on it now, just knowing that she had to do exactly what she had to do for me at that time. And today what I do is I extend that opportunity to others who are in the exact same position that I was 3 years ago.
How can you build a better online reputation for your business? I'm Pat O'Brien with the Business Rockstars Minute. Odds are before a consumer ever hits send on their order, they've done their research. One way consumers communicate is through online reviews. It's in your best interest to manage your online reputation even before the brand launch. This should always be a priority. Thoroughly research potential brand names to ensure there is a path to controlling your image in searches and there is not a negative reputation associated with it. If you get a negative comment or review, it's not the end of the world. This is where online reputation management saves the day. There are plenty of strategies to dealing with a bad review. Deal with the issue efficiently and try to rectify the situation with unhappy customers. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-504-4747. That's 800-504-4747. 800-504-4747. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
This is Business Rockstars, and we are back with Danielle Bruno, CEO of Tender Greens. Danielle, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
So for those who are just tuning in and who are not familiar with Tender Greens, can you give us some background on the company?
Sure. So Tender Greens is a California-based restaurant. We have almost 30 locations. We are in California, Boston, well, Massachusetts, New York, and we specialize in what we in the industry called fine casual. And it's casual because we don't have the servers, we don't have the host, but we do have really high quality food. We have a selection, a great selection of beer and wine, and we really source the highest quality ingredients, responsibly sourced. Every single location has an executive chef with a culinary background, and you'll get an amazing meal for a really good price.
And that is true. I do love Tender Greens. I love the price. I love the food, the freshness. It's all amazing.
Yeah.
So how did you kind of grow the company culture when you first stepped in as CEO of Tender Greens?
Mm-hmm. The company culture at Tender Greens was always already really good. I mean, okay. I think the founders did a fantastic job creating the kind of environment people wanted to work in. Mm-hmm. It was very entrepreneurial. It was still small, mm-hmm. so it was kind of tribal and fun. And it was really important to me to keep that and, to, if anything, to improve on it. Culture, in my mind, is the only thing that matters, especially in the retailer service business. I mean, culture and brand are inextricably linked in the retail environment. So really having people proud of what they're serving or what they're making is incredibly important.
And were there any kind of hurdles or jumps when, you know, you come in as a new CEO, people aren't familiar with you? What was that kind of like?
Yeah, so when I came in, the business was still being run by two of its original three founders. So mm-hmm. one was the president and one was the CEO. And in my time starting at Tender Greens, I took over for basically what they were both doing. And I converted to the CEO and the president. I still have the guy who was the president before is now our chief people officer. He and I are very good friends. Eric and I are still really good friends. He's still really involved in things like food justice. So they're great partners. They're great advisors. And they're really cool people. So when I came in, it was just important that people realized that I wasn't going to try and change what made the brand great, mm-hmm. that I was just going to try and improve on the things that already made it amazing.
And what is it like being a female CEO?
So I don't think of myself as a female CEO, usually until I'm in a room full of other CEOs, and
right.
then it sort of dawns on me. But You know, I recently heard that there are more CEOs named David than there are female CEOs.
Wow.
So, you know, if you ask me why there aren't more female CEOs, what I would say is because there aren't more female CEOs.
Right.
So basically, role models are important, and people sometimes need to sort of see it to be it. Mm-hmm. And there's also an implicit bias in the interviewing and hiring process. I think we all have a stereotype of what a CEO looks like. Mm-hmm. And the more CEOs we see who aren't, you know, tall, white, straight men wearing a suit, probably with no tie,
right.
The more likely people will be to see CEOs in a different image. And I think it's changing.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's great. Were you ever afraid to fail when you first started out? Not necessarily with Tender Greens, but when you first started out in like the CEO process of all those amazing brands mm-hmm. you worked with?
No. I've never really been afraid of failure because I don't believe in failure.
Okay.
I think, you know, failure is where, depends on where you end the story. Mm-hmm. And the road to success is fraught with failure. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in fact, I would say, if you haven't failed, you're probably not trying hard enough to succeed.
Yeah. And if you could give three tips or pieces of advice to entrepreneurs or wantrepreneurs who want to start, grow, or fund their own business, yeah. what would you tell them?
Gosh, three. Well, I think the most important thing is there are very few businesses that in some form or other haven't been done before. Mm-hmm. So talk to other people who have done it. Many people are afraid to ask for help because they don't want to be seen as maybe not qualified or somehow, people will think they don't know what they're doing. But the fact is, there are a lot of people out there who have already done it, who have already tried and failed, and learning from those failures can save a whole bunch of time and effort. I mean, I still talk to a lot of people who are growing businesses who, you know, I can just help probably speed up, you know, several months, if not years, just in the mistakes I've made.
Right.
So I think not being afraid to ask for help would be one big one. The second is just trusting in yourself. Kind of like I mentioned earlier, you are where you are for a reason. Second guessing yourself is not going to do you any good. And I think focusing on the things that make you strong and good at what you do are incredibly important. Mm-hmm. You know, let other people help with the things you're weak at. Don't try and become great at everything. I think it's important for people to understand that nobody is great at everything, and the most successful people are the ones who really learn to maximize their strengths. And the third is, you know, don't be afraid of failing, because everyone has failed. And every amazing success story out there was, you know, filled with tons of failures before it.
And where do you see Tender Greens in the next 5 or 10 years?
Yeah, Tender Greens, we would really like to double in size in the next few years. And by that, I mean really double our footprint. And, you know, to move as quickly as possible. When we were tasting food this morning, and we were tasting this amazing carne asada, and it's just a beautiful dish, mm-hmm. and it's going to be $14. And I'm thinking, God, if all the people in the Midwest who maybe are eating like at Applebee's or TGI Fridays or something, and they're still paying like $14 for a steak plate, if they just taste this,
right.
they would have the opportunity to taste really high quality food, not being critical of any of the other businesses,
no,
but because we specifically focus on ingredients and sourcing our food, and because of the talent we have at the restaurant, I think it just would make this food available to so many more people. I mean, our goal would really be whole food, real food, good food every day for everyone. And that's obviously, you know, ambitious, but I think the more people that try foods that either they're not familiar with or that they have access to that they didn't have access to before, the faster the business can grow. So I think Tender Greens has a really bright future and a long trajectory.
I agree, too. I love Tender Greens. So, Danielle, thank you so much. It was so nice
thank
to interview
you. It's great to meet you.
This is Business Rockstars, and this was my amazing guest, Danielle Bruno, CEO of Tender Greens.
It's hugely important when people are in the office, kind of the quality of light and sound and just kind of the people around.
I love the space. It's a great space to work in. Clique has had a huge impact on me in the sense of she really just believes big. It's not even like a dream. It's just she says exactly what she's going to do, and there's just no question about it. My boyfriend moved out to California, and I followed him here. When he got here, he dumped me after I was here for 3 weeks. But I think the important thing was he dumped me at an internet cafe, where it really just changed my life, because it was at that internet cafe I learned about
HTML and CSS. My father actually told me, he was like, you're going to do journalism for 5 years, and after 5 years, you're going to open up your own business.
We met in the internet chat room before internet chat rooms actually came big. I am in charge of HR. I do the finance and the operations. This is the first job in 25 years where I can actually harass the boss in every single way, so day and night, so it's good.
I think an office space really has to reflect your brand and your personality. It's really important to have a space where you can be creative, homey and comfy, and really a bright and happy place to come in and work.
This message is brought to you by Woot.com, an Amazon company. Holy crap, Woot.com is turning 15? That's right, the site that brings you ridiculously good deals on stuff you need and stuff you didn't know you needed is celebrating their 15th birthday with a week of amazing deals and shenanigans. Woot.com, that's Woot.com, offers deep discounts on electronics, computers, home, tools, sporting goods, and even unique made-to-order t-shirts. Kent Stewart, CEO.
In honor of our 15th birthday, Woot is offering deals the entire week. But the big celebration is on Friday, July 12th, with an epic 15-hour Woot off with deals every 30 minutes, plus 15,000 of our famous bags of crap that offer a random collection of stuff for just $10.
And Wooters with Amazon Prime get free shipping by connecting their Amazon account to their Woot account. Visit Woot.com, that's Woot.com, or download the Woot app for your best chance to score the best deals ever.
I'm Mark Lack. This is Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. Right now, our guests joining us are Brian D. Evans and Clinton Senko. You guys are founder and CEO of Influensive and co-founder and COO of Influensive. Give us a quick recap. What's your guys' company do?
Influensive is an online publication. It's different than most. We're not out there. We are providing how-to information for entrepreneurs, but it's inspiration too. So we're unconventional wisdom. We have a lot of influential writers and contributors from a lot of different platforms. And we're looking to inspire people, kind of like what you guys are doing. We're here to inspire people and give them some takeaways they can use and go create businesses and a better life.
Where do you guys see the vision for this headed? Because that's something that, you know, I'm always curious to know. When somebody has a business, in this case yours, is this an exit strategy where we're trying to build this thing up so once it's doing X amount of money, we know that we can get it valued at this and sell it? What's the vision?
I want to reach 80 million readers a month. And it was one of those moments.
So like, I think the daily? I'm trying to think of.
Elite Daily.
Elite Daily had 30 million visitors a month and got purchased for 50 million?
I think they're actually
at 50 million.
It was 50 and 80. It was between 50 to 80 where they sold for 50 million.
Gerard. Okay, so 50 to 80 million views a month to get acquired for 50 million. Did that have, do you guys know what their profitability model was? Like, were they doing a quarter million a month, 100,000 a month?
The numbers on that, I'm not sure their exact revenue on that. They probably would have been doing well over $10 CPM on that. So.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah,
millions.
So that's the goal for you guys, is something similar to that?
I don't know. I mean, if a big enough number came along, it would be really hard to refuse a sale, I think, down the road.
Because then you get to go shift into all the other fun projects, right?
As an entrepreneur, it's like,
you're flooded with ideas.
Yeah.
Opportunities.
Couldn't do the same thing for the rest of my life anyways if I tried, so.
Yeah.
I think if the number was big enough, it'd sell. But the goal now is to build up the readership. And
so, how are you guys trying to do that? Because I mean, many people nowadays are doing vlogs and trying to build their personal brand and their websites and trying to get the traffic and their podcasts. So there's so many people. I mean, the fastest growing industry, as we know, is the coaching space.
Yeah.
People trying to become an expert and everyone trying to sell. We're in this space.
Yeah,
you guys
have
interviewed hundreds of people like that. And so it's like, there's a lot of people in this industry, but what do you guys feel like is going to help you get to that level from where you're at now, which is crushing it, to like
ultra crushing it where you're going to get bought for $50 million or $100
million. Well, I'll let Clinton answer this too, but here's my, I love competitive industries. I know there's a big pie out there and I can take a piece of it. And it's and that piece is a big piece.
Right.
So I love competitive industries.
Yep.
We're very, it's been a 15-year overnight success. We've been doing social media for, doing it for 15 years now. Yep. You know, I'm learning, I know those algorithms, how they work, those viral trends. I know how to tap into that stuff. We're very aggressive marketers. We're using a lot of aggressive tactics. I think a lot of our competition is in traditional tactics where we have a difference in the knowledge of how that stuff intricately works.
Yeah.
But some of the stuff we're doing with contributors and writers, I think, is big as well.
Yeah. Ultimately, you know, we want to build, you know, Influensive, you know, into a platform that, you know, teaches, trains, and inspires the next generation of leaders. You know, and as it stands right now, we definitely are focused, obviously, around entrepreneurship and businesses and giving, you know, people tips to, you know, start that side hustle, you know, start a new business, you know, how to build their personal brand, because one of the things that I honestly love the most about what we do is, you know, giving an opportunity to a contributor to really build their personal brand, because as you know, as we all know, we write for different platforms, we've been interviewed, you know, there's a lot of good things that can come from, you know, getting your name attached, you know, to a well-known brand, but definitely, you know, with Influensive, we definitely, you know, want to take it, you know, from content to videos and so on. To really, you know, try and touch as many different areas of content as we can, because as you already mentioned, you know, there's everything from daily vlogs to, you know, live sessions to
YouTube channels, podcasts.
Exactly. There's so many different types of content that, you know, we definitely want to be that source that our audience and our users come to every day, you know, when they're feeling down in their venture. And, you know, it's as entrepreneurs, we all have our down days.
Yeah. You know, like he said, the daily, you know, diet. It's like you condition yourself with breakfast, lunch, and dinner and healthy snacks.
Do that
and you do the
media,
same thing.
The website,
with, so when I think, you know, where am I going to get a short little snack of just like, hey, I got some downtime to kill between a meeting or between, you know, whatever, a
what
break.
What do you consume?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm going to just sit down and I'm going to, in my lunch break, I'm going to go to Influensive.
Got five
and I'm gonna,
minutes.
I'm gonna find some quick little information.
Right.
So you guys are trying to become like the staple that's just known as that's where I go for that.
Right.
Yeah. And it's an assortment of content too, an assortment of, you can consume something for 5 minutes or 2 hours. So it's, creating that, I think, is important, of having that balanced diet of content.
Founder and CEO of Influensive and co-founder and COO, we got Brian D. Evans and Clinton Senko are joining us right now. I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. You two guys are absolute rock stars. Is there anything that you definitely want to touch on and talk about? Otherwise, I'm going to keep firing questions off.
Fire away.
Is there something? All right. So content. You guys have a massive content platform. And I feel like, you know, we've talked about so many things. A lot of it has to do with content. Whether it's creating content, whether it's facilitating content and finding people who are going to provide the content for your platform. So when it comes to content, I feel like some people don't really have a clear idea of how to create the right content. And so do you guys have sort of a framework?
Definitely.
That in order for somebody to submit great content, it has to fit into a certain thing, or when you guys create content, there's a specific checklist you follow?
And this will actually serve everything here, but imagine you're being interviewed on Business Rockstars, and you have to explain it very quickly. So think about your content like that. If you have a piece of content that you're writing and you're kind of like, I don't know if this really makes sense, ask yourself, go to somebody else and say, hey, can I just pitch this to you? Don't read it, just explain the concept. And if you can explain the concept in like 30, 60 seconds, boom, you've got it.
Okay.
So if that's one of the techniques that I use personally if I'm writing something.
Something that I learned, just a simple one, is short, contextual, relatable, actionable.
Absolutely.
So contextual, meaning it's you know, contextual, there's an context, like creating content for marketers, creating content for blogs, creating content for videos. So there's the context, and then, you know, relatable is it has to relate specifically to that individual. Mm-hmm. And then actionable is like, here's three things, seven things, which is why so many articles are like the seven tips, the 12 steps, you know, things like that.
Well, headline psychology too is also a big factor. So
you need to have a good headline.
You must know from the analytics on your site, like which articles take off.
And
if you just change the headline, how much it goes up or down.
Yeah, famous names, numbers, big dollar amounts, percentages.
The trends happening.
Yeah, trends happening. You can tap into trending content. Intrigue factor too. You don't want to give it away in the headline. If I give it away, you're not going
to
read the article.
Mystery causes action is a great saying to remember.
Yes, yes.
So right. always try to put curiosity yeah. and elicit, oh, I'm curious. Yeah. What does that mean? And yeah. so right. I'm trying to remember what some of the best websites are yeah. that have like the shortest little headlines. But if you ever look at like the ads on the side,
yeah.
Those yeah. people are paying money for those.
Of course. So
either A, yeah. it's their first time and they have no idea, and you can usually tell pretty quick.
Yeah.
Or B, they're professional marketers. And yeah. so the headlines that you see you're being targeted by mm-hmm. are probably pretty good headlines to at least come up with an idea of.
Yeah.
Or go to, you know, your guys' website and look yeah. at the headlines of the articles, because you guys are professionals who make yeah. sure your headlines are, you know, what they should be.
Yeah, headlines yeah. are super important, you know, absolutely. To yeah. build on that with Brian. And just to even kind of take that another step forward, just kind of maybe even a tip, you know, yeah. for, you know, contributors that are out there, or, you know, someone maybe that wants to aspire to be a contributor. One thing that I would really, you know, suggest is get it in your head kind of early, is that I need to provide value, exactly. you know, to the readers.
It's not self-serving.
And yeah. I need to provide value, you know, to the publication as a whole. Because I think when you have that in your mind, that, you know, I want to provide value to them, whether that's interacting with them, whether that's writing a well-thought-out article that, you know, gives them 5 steps that they can implement right now, you really need to think, I need to provide value, 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 and it's going to come yeah. back to you tenfold. If you focus on value.
And that's like the perfect thing, because it not only relates to networking, doing business, creating content, being yeah. interviewed. Yeah. It's literally, if you start to focus on who you are as an individual, as a yeah. value adder, and you go out to acquire new knowledge and skill sets to improve your ability to add more value,
yeah.
your value adding ability is typically in direct proportion to your earning ability.
Absolutely.
And right. so keep going out, getting new knowledge and skill sets, yeah. sharpening your yeah. knowledge and skill sets so you yeah. can add more value and make more money and have a bigger impact in the world. So I right. love that you brought that up. What do you feel like is some good advice for the aspiring entrepreneur who's sitting there in a position where you guys once were, who says, I've got a 9-to-5 job. I think that you two are amazing. I want to go out and I want to follow my own passion and create my yeah. own business. Just short and sweet. You share one piece of advice and you share one piece of advice. What do we tell this aspiring entrepreneur? When's the right time to get started?
Go for it.
Okay, I'll say number one is be a content creator. So whether that's you decide to start writing, whether that means you start doing videos, whether that means you start going, you know, to interview people, you know, at live events, you just need to become a content creator. Quotes, pictures, whatever you're good at, find something that you have a passion for and just create content, because no one's going to find you. No one's going to know what you're all about unless you create content and put it out there. So just create content.
Simple, I love it.
And one of my favorite quotes, life doesn't happen to you, it happens for you. So if you look at a failure or something setback, or you were dealt this bad hand, I don't like that mindset. I like the mindset of, these things are happening to strengthen me for next time. It's happening for me to show me the right path. So I think the mindset shift, that big mindset shift in me when I heard that, and adopted that, was huge to me. It was all these little failures, it's all for a reason. It's not that I should be down on myself, because yeah. mm-hmm. if you're down on yourself and you lose confidence, that's it. You need to stay yeah. confident and realize, okay, that failure, that's good. I'm happy because that didn't work. Now I can try other things that could work.
What a great reframe. You know, things yeah. aren't happening to me, they're happening for me. And just yeah. that little shift in frame. Love you guys. You guys are rock stars. Appreciate you guys for coming on the show. Where can people learn more about you?
Influensive.com.
Influensive.com. Yeah. Easy as that.
You betcha.
Thanks for coming on the show, guys.
You bet. Thank you so much for having us.
I'm Mark Lack on Business Rockstars, connecting a community of entrepreneurs. You can join us on Facebook, Twitter, and online at businessrockstars.com.
And now, a Business Rockstars Minute. Why would you do it yourself when you can call a pro? I'm Pat O'Brien, and this is a Business Rockstars Minute. How many times have you done this to yourself? You thought you could make it happen, and you realize later on, when it's too late, you made it even worse because you didn't call in a pro. We do this in business as well, legal work, bookkeeping, even website development. Instead of trying to fix things yourself and save a few dollars, call in a pro. All too often, entrepreneurs only look at the bottom line of what something costs. Stop doing this. Remember, a professional might be expensive, an amateur could cost you a fortune. Would you take your sick child to an amateur? No. Would you have your house built by an amateur? No. Don't settle for subpar. Always get a professional. It'll pay off in the long run. I'm Pat O'Brien, and this has been a Business Rockstars Minute.
So you sit down and you do your budget and you look at all your monthly costs, your bills, your income, and it seems like there's never quite enough. You know what would help? What would really help? Finding $500 a month to help balance things out. And that is the typical savings. $500 a month for a family when you switch to MediShare for your healthcare. MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry, and it works. No wonder more than 400,000 people are doing this now. And look, whether you're single or married or you have kids, this can make sitting down to do a monthly budget a lot more fun. Just think what you could do with $500 a month. That can cover a car payment or payback loans or whatever. Join MediShare and go out to dinner to celebrate. Find out more. The MediShare people are so easy to talk to. They can answer any questions. They are super friendly. Call 844-91-BIBLE. That's 844-91-BIBLE. 844-91-BIBLE.
You shouldn't have to choose a random lawyer who charges expensive hourly rates when you need legal help. But the legal system is so complicated, what other choice do you have when you need help with your business or want to protect your family? Start with LegalZoom. They make it easy. For more than a decade, they've provided a way for regular people like you and me to confidently navigate the legal system. LegalZoom's not a law firm, and that's how they provide such great value. They don't rely on charging you by the hour. Instead, you'll get transparent pricing and customer reviews so you know exactly what you're getting up front. If you need help with incorporation, LLCs, trademarks, last wills, living trusts, and more, LegalZoom's the smart choice. They've got the right people on hand to answer your questions. And if you need legal advice, their network of independent attorneys can provide the straightforward guidance you need in most states. Don't let legal hurdles become an excuse. Go to LegalZoom.com today to start building your own future the right way. To save even more, enter ROCKSTAR in the referral box at checkout. That's LegalZoom.com.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect the community of entrepreneurs. Welcome to Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien, and welcome to CEO Roundtable. Maren Costello is with us from the Bead Kit, is where we started, right?
That's where we started, yes.
Yeah, and you're wearing some of your product there. And Zane Lamprey, my old friend, the founder of Adventure and Booze, right,
yeah.
Basically?
So Adventure, the Adventure line now, the Adventure hoodie, and also Monkey Rum. And then it kind of goes on from there.
Okay, well, let's talk about being in charge of a company or being founding a company. First of all, what's the corporate culture at your company?
It's not your stereotypical culture. It's very welcoming, compassionate. I mean, work is demanded and it is expected to be done, but there's also an element of compassion and understanding of living one's life.
All right.
Yeah.
Unlike Zane's.
Zane's
the same way, right?
It is the same way. I mean, look, you surround yourself, you get to a level where you get to hire the best people. And if you hire the best people, you can enjoy yourself. You know, if you have people that aren't working up to the task, then that makes a very bad work culture.
I've always wondered about that because you've invested your lives. They're not together, by the way.
Not anymore.
Not anymore, sorry.
Different show.
into this lifelong journey. And so hiring people becomes a big deal, right? Because they're just a big piece of what your future is going to look like.
Correct.
So how do you hire the right people?
I think the longer that I go as a founder, the more I know about myself, the more I know about what I'm looking for in another person to hire onto the company. I think that if they're motivated and passionate, then anyone can really be taught anything. But if they have like a fire in them, that's something that's really key.
Seems to me that jewelry and liquor and apparel is maybe one of the hardest things to stand out in, right?
Sure, because
there's so much of it.
There's so much of it, exactly.
So how do you stand out?
Is that to me, Pat?
Apparently so.
I'll take this one if you don't mind. You make the best product that you can, and sometimes when you make the best product, it just costs a little more, and you have to trust that what you make can sustain itself at that price. If you start cutting corners, and people can move on to another brand. So you make something that's great, and then have great marketing to get the word out. And build a customer base that keeps coming back. I think that's the most important thing. You can't deal with people once. You need to deal with them. You need to deal with them once and then deal with them for a lifetime.
And new ideas have to come all the time. How do you motivate people at your company?
By honing in on what their strengths are and championing those. And it's different for every single person. So what motivates me and what gets me going is completely different from some of the people that I work with. So,
And how do you balance life and work?
I think the beautiful thing about being the founder is being able to curate who you work with. And so a lot of the people that I bring onto my team or people that I freelance, you know, that I use as freelancers, right. they have become my family. And I'm able to choose who I get to work with. So that to me is balance and being able to enjoy.
That's worth the whole deal, right?
100%.
I wish I could do that.
There's a time in every entrepreneur's life where they make the transition from the 9-to-5 into being an entrepreneur. And I think one of the things that they think is, I want to dictate my own schedule. I want to start living my own life.
That's really blind faith.
And it's completely wrong. So if you work a 9-to-5, you work for someone else, most of the times when you're on your weekend, you're on your weekend. When you're an entrepreneur and you have your own company, your company doesn't take a rest. So Saturdays and Sunday, whether you're in the office or not, your brain is halfway there. Right. So you need to find people that can live, you know, when you're at a certain, you know, they have a term now, the startup, right? I mean, that's a very tech word. But you're a startup until you are, you know, in a much bigger corporate place. And you need that startup mentality. You need people that are excited about being there and that will work as hard as you. Right. I mean, I surround myself with people that are better at certain things than I am. I think that's the trick. I'm not the best at anything that they do. Right.
Maren, is that the skill set to survive is hiring people that can teach you?
I think that if you can put yourself in the position as a student always, you will always be ahead. There's something to be learned from everyone, even people who don't have the same level of credentials as you on paper. Sometimes those are the people that you learn the most from.
We are here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars, the CEO Roundtable version. I'm Pat O'Brien. Is it hard to stay focused as a CEO? We were talking about a little bit earlier. I mean, you've got so much going on, you know? Is it hard to just...
Focused on the immediate tasks or the long-term goal?
Focus is focus.
So my story is different in that I didn't wake up one day and go, I think I'm going to start a jewelry business. Right. I have this idea for a design, and I think I'm going to roll with it. It was the complete opposite. It was a hobby turned into a brand, and I didn't realize it was doing that as it was doing that. And so for me, it's not work.
Right,
it is my passion. It is my purpose. It doesn't require much focus for me to focus.
When did you realize you had something that was marketable?
I've been selling jewelry since I was 7 and making it since that age, just at local craft fairs. But when I was in college, my pieces were featured on American Idol. And then I started getting calls from big marketing firms and PR firms. And that was the moment where I thought, oh, you can do this as a living. You know, I grew up in Northern California. The fashion industry was pretty null back then. We didn't have social media the way that it is today. And so once I realized that this could be a potential profession, my brain shifted and I learned to transition thinking of making jewelry as a hobby to designing jewelry as a profession and as a brand.
What do you think is the number one thing that entrepreneurs out there should know? The biggest hurdle to cross. Forget the money and the raising money and all that. I know all that's hard, but.
What is the biggest hurdle?
Don't do it. It's a rough, lonely road.
Just like you say to yourself, this has got to be crazy. I can't do this. I mean, that'd be one. But, you know, going into it, what was the biggest hurdle for you?
Going into it, I'm going to quote the amazing Marie Forleo and say everything is figure outable. And when you think of any challenge that way, that it's not challenging. You're just searching for the answer. Mm-hmm. And there could be an infinite amount of answers to whatever you're trying to solve, but everything's figure outable.
When we're done here, I want you to use figure outable in a sentence.
I'm going to do it. I'm going to figure outable how to do that.
Thank you both for joining
Thank
us,
you.
Okay?
Thanks.
That's been CEO Roundtable. We're here to inspire, inform, and connect a community of entrepreneurs. This is Business Rockstars. I'm Pat O'Brien. See you next time.